This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, January 24th. Well, we come out of last week with quite a bit of momentum to the upside. Wheat had a strong week. Most of that was the first couple days of trading. Monday was a holiday, and so Tuesday and Wednesday, the markets were up sharply higher. And then Thursday, Friday, we spent kind of stabilizing and pulling back just a little bit. But for the week, Kansas City was up 48 cents, which was 13 off its high. Minneapolis was up 58, that was 15 off the high. Chicago was up 38, that was 22 off its high. Corn was up 22 off its high. Soybeans up 57, and that was 15 off the high. So across the grain space, we had a very strong week and an impressive performance. For the row crops, you know, we're looking at the dry conditions in South America that started out the growing season for southern Brazil and northern Argentina. Hot and dry conditions, a terrible start to the season, and we've already seen production estimates declining significantly because of that. Now, last week they had a series of rain, and some of that is still lingering into this week. So we kind of put the brakes on the upward momentum for corn. Soybeans are continuing to rally higher because of far too much rain in the northern part of Brazil, where now they're trying to harvest soybeans. So they've got the weather issues pretty much across the whole country in Brazil and in Argentina, getting a reprieve. But as we look at the forecast here for the next couple weeks, it looks like the hot and dry conditions are expected to return. So La Nina is still well intact, and we did get some rains coming through, kind of a breakthrough from the normal pattern from La Nina, but from what the forecasts are suggesting, it's going to return to those hot and dry conditions. So I think, you know, the markets are stabilizing because of that. They didn't really sell off that much, even with the rains coming, but the prospect that you could see yet more production losses, I think, will underpin the market. I don't think it's enough at this moment to push them higher for corn and beans, in particular corn in Argentina, but it's unlikely that you're going to see much of a drop just because so much damage has already been done. Now, corn is kind of tagging along with wheat. They'll tag along with each other for that matter. But in wheat, the bigger issues there are the Russia-Ukraine skirmish going on. And boy, it sure looks like something's going to happen. The U.S. is telling families of diplomats to get out of Ukraine. Russia's brought in another tranche of troops, another 25,000. NATO and the U.S., well, U.S. is part of NATO, but NATO is bringing in artillery to help Ukraine. And there are reports that Russia is maneuvering to have a coup in Ukraine. Not just go across the border and attack them, but just outright walk into the government and take it over. So there's a huge amount of tension, to say the least, going on in a massive, major grain exporting region. And, you know, Russia's the world's largest wheat exporter. If they invade Ukraine, there's going to be massive pushback against any kind of business with Ukraine, with Russia, not to mention the sanctions that would be put on them. So that would effectively shut off a great deal of wheat and barley exports coming out of Russia. For Ukraine, just the chaos that it would create, depending on, you know, who's got the upper hand, you can expect that exports out of Ukraine will be just as disrupted. And they're the world's third largest exporter of corn. They're a huge exporter of wheat. And, you know, even though their marketing years are about half over, they still have a lot to go. So with corn, given the weather situation going on in South America, and if Ukraine gets knocked off the export market for the time being, that only leaves the United States as a major exporter of corn. That is hugely bullish for the corn market. And it's also, again, you know, back to the major exporters of wheat of Ukraine and Russia, it's hugely bullish for wheat. So wheat's had a pretty major sell-off since Thanksgiving, and we've had a quick snapback here. We're not quite even halfway back, but I think there's a good shot that we could come back and test those highs set in around Thanksgiving if this skirmish breaks loose. And it just seems to me that it's just not a question of if, it's more like when this is going to happen. And obviously, looking at what's going on, it would be sooner rather than later. So the market is bracing for that, factoring in some outside geopolitical events. But it's, again, just make no mistake that it's enormously bullish. How long that rally lasts remains to be seen, but expect a pretty sharp push to the upside. Certainly something we would want to be selling into once we feel that we've kind of lost, we've kind of run into some major resistance. And then on top of all that, you have weather here in the United States, in the Southern Plains, up into the Central Plains, very dry conditions. And, you know, yes, it's dormant, but still, as you get into February, you're going to be breaking dormancy in Texas. Texas needs a drink, bad. And it's not just wheat, but it's also pastures. You're going to be pulling cattle off of wheat pastures early because of high prices, and producers, from what we're hearing, they're going to want to take wheat to harvest. So they're going to be pulling cattle off of winter wheat grazing pastures. And obviously, if you don't have any rain, you're not going to have much growth anyway, and the pastures are going to suffer. So it's anything but free sailing here in the United States as well, as far as production prospects. So Texas will be the first up, you know, if the rains don't come, and this is largely based on La Nina as well. Then I think wheat markets just take yet another leg up if the rains don't come. So that's a real possibility considering where we are right now, and La Nina still intact. The likelihood of this weather pattern continuing is fairly high. And of course, in the Northern Plains, we have yet to really break the drought that decimated production up there as well, and up into the Canadian prairies. So this is far from over. The production issues, you know, we come into this year with very tight supplies of pretty much all grains. Feed grain supplies worldwide are extremely tight. You've got record high prices in China, record high prices in the Black Sea region. You've got production problems going on in South America, which usually fills those export gaps between the Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere. We can expect that those supplies will be greatly diminished as well. So it just keeps if you get sell-offs in the grain space, especially corn and beans, it just keeps the bid underneath these breaks. In wheat, we had record production out of Argentina and Australia, which clearly had an impact on the market. And that certainly, you know, took a lot of the wind out of the sail of that market, even though I still think we're in a longer-term bull market for wheat. I didn't anticipate it would have this kind of pressure from the Southern Hemisphere, but clearly I was wrong in that regard. But longer term, I do look for the wheat and corn, and soybeans are already doing this, but be pushing into new highs and resuming that upward momentum. And I think that there's a great deal of upward potential in these markets. Now, export sales last week in wheat finally seeing a decent number at 453,000 tons. We've seen several weeks in a row where the numbers have been very light, and so finally kind of getting some traction here. Year to date, our sales are sitting at 16.7 million tons. That's 22% below where we were a year ago. As far as what we're projecting to sell, we're about 75% sold on that, which is running about 7 percentage points behind the average. In corn, export sales are 1.2 million tons, and we're at the high end of the range of estimates. Year-to-date sales are at 42.5 million tons, which is 9% below last year. We're at 69% of the sold of the projected sales, which is 8% above where the average. In soybeans, last week we sold 1.2 million tons. That was within the range of estimates. Most of that going to China, which is normal, is 780,000 tons. So far this year, we've sold 43.1 million tons of soybeans. That's 25% below last year. We're at 77% sold of our projected export sales. That's running 2 points behind the average. In world wheat or world grain prices for last week, U.S. soft red wheat at the Gulf at $342 per ton. That's up $18. Hard red wheat at the Gulf at $383 a ton, that's up 28. Ukraine is sitting at $321 a ton, that's down 4. Russia is at $333, which is down 1. France is at 316, up 5. Argentina up at 290, that is up 4. World corn prices ended the week for the United States at $284 a ton out of the Gulf. That's up 13. Argentina's at 259, that's down 2. Brazil is at 294, is up 15. Soybean prices out of the U.S. Gulf at $559 a ton is up 13. Argentina's at 557, which was up 22. And Brazil is at 550, which was up 24. The Russian export tax for wheat is at $95.80 a ton. That's down $1.70 from the previous week. Corn at $50.60 a ton is up 4.5. And barley at $74.40 is down $4.60. Looks like freight rates, while kind of mixed across many of the transport routes around the world, largely were lower and quite a bit lower for some of these rates coming out of the Black Sea. So moving forward, basically what I was saying earlier is that I do think that all the grains are still in an uptrend. I think there's a huge amount of potential to the upside if you continue to see the dry weather in South America and up in, you know, North America. We're still pretty early as far as needing rain, but in the next few weeks, Texas is going to need some rain, and I think that's going to set the tone, at least for the early part of the growing season. So look for breaks to be well supported. The geopolitical issues in Russia and Ukraine are just a massive potential for this market to move higher, and you don't want to be on the short side of that. If you've got sales that need to be replaced, I would suggest getting that done. Still looking for a seasonal run into early February, which isn't that far away. And then into early May, I think, is probably when you're going to see some major highs be put in, unless you've got dry conditions developing in the Midwest. And then that just becomes a whole different story. But for now, still looking for those seasonal patterns to work their way through and offer some selling opportunities for us. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.